Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
I have hope. I have a lot of hope that somebody's going to make the right phone call, that somebody's going to have the courage to do what needs to be done, and that someday, soon, hopefully sooner than later, she'll be found, and her family will get justice. Her family somehow will get answers, and I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case for every family you talk to. Because I think we have to put ourselves in their shoes. Imagine if this was your child or your sister, your mother, your brother. You're just out there on your own. I give the family so much credit. They're just a nice family. Just a very well-liked, very well-respected family in their community. Very hard-working family. And, my heart goes out to them.
Hello and welcome to episode 43 of The Vanished. Tonight, I'll be discussing the disappearance of 15-year-old Jantel Johnson. Jantel disappeared from her home in Newark, Delaware on February 3, 2010. It is believed that she made it home from school that day and vanished sometime between the time she arrived home and when her brother came to pick her up for church later that evening. This is Jantel's story. I had the pleasure of speaking with Claudia Rivero for the show. She is a local reporter who was working at NBC 10 in Philadelphia when Jantel disappeared. Claudia is not an official spokesperson for the family, but this case has stuck with her and she is in the process of making a documentary about Jantel's disappearance. Jantel's family is very private, so I was lucky to find Claudia to share the information that she has been able to dig up since there is not much out there and law enforcement won't say much about her case either. Like many missing teens, Jantel was initially thought to be a runaway.
Well, unfortunately, it seems like a lot of times that's the initial reaction. It's like, and to be fully transparent, according to her family, Jantel had run away in the past, I believe. Okay. One time. She did have that history. One time she ran away but came back almost just as fast, according to her family, and was in contact with her family the whole time. Her family believes that that's probably the reason, or part of it anyway, as to why the case just did not generate any attention at all, is because it's, oh, she's a runaway, oh, it's a troubled child, somehow it's the child's fault. But it's not a normal case. It's not normal what's going on with her case.
Claudia explained to me why Jantel's family does not believe that she would have just run away.
Right before she vanished, she was about to find out the sex of her baby. That week, she had a doctor's appointment and was supposed to find out the sex of her baby. So she was looking forward. She had things, according to her family, that she was really looking forward to. She was, of course, like anybody would be, any teenager. She was nervous. She was scared about being pregnant. 15, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? But she was also, according to her sister, she was very excited, and she certainly was very excited and very much looking forward to finding out the sex of her child.
Claudia has gotten to know Jantel's family over the years. She first met them when she interviewed them during her time at NBC 10, and she has kept in touch with them while creating the documentary.
Her family, they're very tight-knit. It's a very tight-knit family. They're very close. She was the baby. She's the baby of the family, so she was spoiled that way. She has an older sister and then her brother and then Jantel. So no, she's the baby. Her brother, I mean, they just speak so beautifully of her. And it's so, my God, it's been so hard for them. It's been so hard for them. It's so sad.
Sometimes pregnant teens do run away because they are not getting enough support at home or they get kicked out by their parents. But this was not the case for Jantel.
No, because her family, they, of course they were, of course, like any parent, they were upset initially and, disappointed, I think is more of the word that they used. Of course they were disappointed initially. She was only 15 at the time and now big news, she's pregnant, but they were very accepting and they said, all right, well, this is where we're at and this is what we're going to do. And Jontel all along, they say, wanted to keep the baby. Anything else was not an option. She wanted to keep her child. And so it just doesn't make sense that she would just, okay, well, I'm leaving and I'm never contacting you again. It doesn't make sense. She's 15, and you know this. People don't just disappear. She was very active on social media, as all teenagers are. And obviously she had a phone. She had her friends and nothing. It's just that day her mother dropped her off at school, and that was it.
Since we know that she had a cell phone, I wondered if law enforcement had released any information regarding her phone records. Claudia explained to me how she came to learn about Jontel's last phone call.
Just so you know, the Newcastle County Police has been very tight-lipped about Jontel's case from the beginning. In 2010, when I was working at NBC 10, and we did a story on it, it was a very brief, very last minute, because one of her relatives contacted the station, and they said, well, this is our relative, she's missing, can you guys do something? So it was very last minute that we did something, and they said that when she disappeared, the last phone call that came in was from the person they believe, or that she had identified as the father of her child. That was the last phone activity, as far as anything. That was it.
We are not going to name the man who Jontel identified as the father of her baby, because law enforcement has never officially named him a person of interest.
Initially, Newcastle County Police did, he was an investigative lead, but to no avail. Jontel's nowhere to be found. There's no concrete evidence to say something happened to her, as in foul play. So it's one of those missing persons where it's, we don't know what happened to her and we haven't seen her, so we can't officially say something, you know what I mean? That something bad happened to her. So it's just, it's a mystery. But he was questioned. Newcastle County Police, when I did the story in 2010 for NBC 10, they did confirm that they had spoken to the father of her child, but that was it.
I wanted to know what the age difference was between Jontel and this man.
11 years. According to the family, the person that Jontel told them was her boyfriend and the father of her child, he's 11 years older than her. So at the time she's 15, he's 26.
A little bit later in the episode, I will get into a bit more detail about what kind of legal trouble this man could have gotten into for having a sexual relationship with Jontel. But before we go there, I wanted to get a better idea of the timeline for the day that she disappeared.
Her mom and her brother, they dropped her off at Glasgow High School in New York and on February 3rd. They dropped her off that morning. Later on, she called her mother to tell her that she wasn't feeling well, the pregnancy and everything. She just wasn't feeling well that day, so she was going to go home early. They were in contact by phone that morning, and then she went home, and her mother told her, well, take a nap, try to get some rest. Your brother will pick you up later, and you guys, you know, will come meet the rest of the family. They had a family event at their church in Chester that evening. Long story short, her brother, Prentice, shows up at the apartment that afternoon. And, you know, the way he tells me, he didn't really see anything out of the ordinary. He walked in, the door was unlocked. He noticed that her stuff was there, her backpack, her keys, her glasses, everything, all her stuff was there. And there was even a little plastic bag with a snack inside, and a receipt. So he realized that she, you know, probably stopped by at the store before she got home, got herself something to eat. So nothing seemed out of the ordinary. It didn't look like forced entry, nothing. But she was nowhere to be found. He calls his mother and says, Jontel's not here, but they didn't really think anything of it immediately. He contacted some of her friends who lived in the same complex, and they said, no, we haven't seen her. So he goes to church to meet the rest of the family. And that evening, early evening, her mother tells me that, you know, something just didn't feel right. It wasn't like Jontel to not call her at some point, even if she was off being a teenager and hanging out with her friend. She's like, she would always call, we couldn't get a hold of her. So they went home, and that's when they contacted Newcastle County Police.
Claudia explained what items Jontel left behind and what the scene may suggest about what happened.
Because she didn't take her bag or her glasses. I mean, if you wear glasses, you're going to take them with you. It wasn't like she had any of those things that would have alerted her family to say, my goodness, she ran away. No, she left all her stuff. And keep in mind, February 3rd, it's the middle of winter. Her winter stuff is at the house. To them, it's almost like somebody called her and she stepped outside to talk to someone. She wasn't planning on going anywhere. She just went outside to talk to someone. That, you know, she wasn't planning on staying out long. Now, she did apparently, the way they described the clothing that she was wearing, she did step out with some sort of a jacket. But she didn't take her purse. She didn't take her keychain. She didn't take her glasses or money, her wallet. I mean, all of that is left behind.
I've never been to the apartment where Jontel was living, but Claudia has. I asked her to give us an idea of what the area was like.
Yeah, it's a huge complex. It's not gated, but there are many different entrances because it's so big. I did go back there several times, and there are no surveillance cameras, unfortunately, anywhere throughout this property. So it's one of those where you could easily go in and you could easily go out a million ways. The way the complex is set up, it's so large. I mean, it's literally hundreds of units. It's separated into individual buildings, if that makes sense. I believe her address was 35, is building 35. So you go into building 35, it's three floors, and they were in the middle. So there are a bunch of apartments around. So if somebody had dragged her out, if somebody had forced her out, or if there had been a fight, oh my goodness, definitely somebody would have heard it because the apartments are that close to each other. But there was, you know, there was none of that. There was none. And I spoke to many of her neighbors, and they remember when the police came by later on that evening, once the family had called Newcastle County Police, but no, they don't remember her or any sign of a struggle, a fight. Screaming, yelling, loud voice, nothing. No, it's like she left on her own. It almost sounds like she was, somebody called her and said, can you come outside real quick? And she went outside real quick.
Most likely somebody she knew.
That's what her family believed. And that's why again, she had identified the person, this individual, who she said was her boyfriend and the father of her baby. She had told them, she had shown them a picture, she had given him her name, because obviously her parents demanded it, rightfully so. This is their child. So they did know, they were aware of who it is, and they do know who it is. But again, it's one of those where it's, we'll prove it. So they're in that situation where they believe he knows, this person knows what happened to Jontel, where she is, and why she never came back home.
I was curious to know if Claudia ever personally spoke with this man.
We have tried tracking him down numerous times, and we are still in the process of that. We tried going to his family's home. We've tried knocking on his door. We've tried phone calls, countless phone calls. We've just never received any callbacks. I have reached out to his family. I did speak with his grandmother last year. I believe she has since passed away. And the only thing she would tell me is that she did confirm that he was questioned by the police regarding Jontel's disappearance, but question and release. To be very clear, he's never been named a suspect. Nobody has. There are no official suspects. What we do know is that he still lives, I believe, in the Wilmington area. That's also, I believe, where he may have met Jontel initially, because the family had just moved to Newark not long before she disappeared. So most of their time, it was in Wilmington. You have to think about it. I mean, it's quite obvious, right? I mean, the child is 15 years old. She's 5 months pregnant. The person that she allegedly, her father, the father of her baby, is 11 years older. If you look at it, it's like, my goodness, who would have a reason to be upset at Jontel? I mean, we can speculate all you want, but people don't just disappear. Certainly a 15-year-old that's pregnant, that's about to have a child, doesn't just vanish and never contact your family ever again. As you know, when people disappear, who do detectives look at first? It's usually the person or people closest to the missing person. And in this case, with her being 15 and pregnant, the obvious person that they would probably look at first would be the father of her child. So that apparently obviously has been the case here. But I'll tell you, when we did the story for NBC 10 in 2010, I did speak to the public information officer for at the time. I don't believe he's there anymore, but for Newcastle County Police. And at that time, he did say to us that it didn't look good. He didn't elaborate, but he said it didn't look good. And he wouldn't say much more than that. Still said, well, it's still an open case. We will continue to investigate until we find her, et cetera. But he said it didn't look good. You know, one can draw their own conclusion from there.
During the process of making the documentary, Claudia reached out to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
I did speak to the vice president of the Missing Children's Division. And in a case like this, obviously, as you know, the more time that goes by, the more difficult it becomes. Someone out there obviously knows where this girl is. Someone out there knows what happened to Jontel Johnson and her baby. And we can think of the worst because of the amount of time that has gone by. At the same time, the National Center reminds us of other cases, such as the three girls in Cleveland, Ohio, that were found after missing 10 years. Michelle Knight, Amanda Berry, Gina de Jesus, or Sean Hornbeck, out of, I believe, California, missing for 4 years and then found with another missing little boy who had also been kidnapped. You have Elizabeth Smart, Casey Dugard, you have Carlina White. These are all stories of kids that vanished and were missing years in some of these cases, and they were found. So there's always that hope. Hope is the last thing that dies. So there is that hope, and they are very hopeful that she's out there and she just can't come home for whatever reason. And at the same time, according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, they also have to be realistic. And in Jontel's case, the reality is that because of the amount of time that has gone by and because she hasn't been able to contact her mother or anybody in her family, there is obviously reason to be very concerned. And that's why it's one of those cases that's like, why isn't it getting more media attention? Someone out there knows what happened to her. Someone out there has that little piece of information that could very easily help Newcastle County Police bring this case to a close, whatever that means, and to bring justice to this family. They're hurting, and they deserve justice. And, you know, here we are going into it 7 years later, and it's a case that just always stayed with me. I found it so not just heartbreaking for her family, but just it just went unnoticed. And that, to me, is just not right.
Claudia told me about how she tried to get more media coverage for Jontel, but she has not had much luck. That is not what I expected to hear from a journalist. I guess that I naively assumed that she would have more luck persuading other media outlets to take an interest in the story.
I've reached out to so many people, and I was that's why I thank you so much for contacting me, because I know how much what this means to Jontel's family. To them, it was, they're in a place where in the beginning, they were obviously hurting so much because their child is gone. I can't imagine what that must be like. And I don't pretend to, simply because I know Jontel's family, but I see what this has done to them and how it has hurt them. Because remember, it's not just one person that disappeared. It's two. It's Jontel and her child. So they've missed out on the birth of their grandchild, on Jontel's graduation, her plans, whatever those were. You know, she was really into writing poetry. She was really into sports. Her family describes her as she was really tough. She had this tough exterior, but deep down she was this really sweet. Just a really sweet, really funny girl. And they've missed out on all these holidays and Thanksgiving and her sister. I mean, you know, she's like, it's not the same. Holidays, nothing is the same anymore. It's just, imagine living with the not knowing. And that's what really gets them. It's they don't know. They know somebody knows, but they don't know what happened to her. And it's, you know, they deserve answers.
I got to wondering if Jontel's family ever had the opportunity to confront the father of Jontel's baby.
Initially, when Jontel disappeared, they were putting up flyers, you know, because again, of the lack of media attention, they took it upon themselves to go to the neighborhood where not only their own neighborhood where she vanished from, but also where this individual, and his family lived. They put up flyers everywhere. This is in the middle of winter. They're out there every day with flyers and flyers and flyers. And they did try to speak to him and his family, and they got nowhere. Basically, it was, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. And that's pretty much as far as they've ever been able to get with him as far as any information about Jontel.
By this point, I'm thinking that Jontel was most likely lured outside by this man, and something happened to her after she got into his vehicle. I think that if she had not willingly gotten into a vehicle, someone would have seen or heard a struggle in such a large apartment complex. This led me to wonder if his vehicle was ever processed as a potential crime scene.
You know, we've reached out to Newcastle County Police, or the lead investigative agency here, and they have remained very tight-lipped about this case. So it has been very difficult to get any information or to get any updates on this case. Are they, you know, there were never any news conferences about Jontel Johnson or any press releases about her, or there just wasn't anything. So that's not to say that they're not working on the case. Do they know a lot more that we don't know and they don't want to jeopardize the investigation? Perhaps. But as far as, let's say, you know, you see the stories on the news when somebody disappears. Now, I mean, my goodness, with not just TV, but social media, you would want to get it out as soon as possible, get that picture out there as soon as possible. But that just hasn't been the case. So do they know more about him, about his background? And then you also have to consider the possibility that maybe she didn't leave with this guy.
In her research, Claudia found that the man in question was arrested in 2013 for domestic violence involving the mother of one of his other children. He was facing 5 years in prison, but was sentenced to just 2 years probation and ordered to stay away from the victim. This does not prove that he did anything to Jontel, but it does show us that he is capable of violence and specifically being violent towards the mother of his child. Claudia wrote about this in a blog entry recently, which can be found at whereisjontel.com.
That's the information that I found out about that individual, which is it's quite troubling, if you ask me. I mean, you know, the information of him having a domestic violence case against the mother of one of his children. This is 2013 when he was arrested, according to court records. 2014 is when he received probation for those charges, which were very, very serious charges. So it makes you wonder if this person has this type of a history, it would seem logical to go back to him. And that's what the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, the VP there, told us as well. It would be good for police to go back to this individual, talk to him again, and see if he can provide any kind of information.
Claudia told me about a case that was very similar to Jontel's.
There's a case out of Florida that is very similar to Jontel's. A young girl by the name of Morgan Martin. Very, very similar circumstances. That case, actually, they just got an indictment in that case against the boyfriend. Very, very similar circumstances as to Jontel Johnson. But they got an indictment, even though she's never been found. That girl has never been found, but they managed to get an indictment. Will that ever happen in Jontel's case? I hope there's some sort of resolution here, because it's, you know, I mean, this is a kid, two children really, who vanished, and someone knows where she is.
I did look up Morgan Martin, and her disappearance is eerily similar. She went outside to talk to her boyfriend and simply vanished. I'm interested to see how his trial goes, considering the fact that her remains were never recovered. It is amazing to me that Jantel left her apartment that day and just vanished from such a heavily populated area, and no one ever saw a thing.
You would think, right, in such a big complex, you would think that somebody would have seen something. But no, and again, I believe it was because perhaps there was nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
When she walked out, she walked out normally. She got in a car, perhaps because it was cold, and that's it. So there was no struggle. There was no yelling. There was no altercation. There was no argument. It was just, it's like she just vanished. People
yeah.
don't just vanish though. People don't just disappear.
Claudia told me some more information about Jantel's phone.
According to her family, there is some information about that they were given by investigators, and that they were, apparently she had one of those phones that are, what do you call them? It's a track phone.
Okay.
Because of that, according to her family, it took investigators longer to trace her phone or to get the information out of her phone. So they said it was about, about a month after she disappeared that investigators were able to figure out that the last call that came into Jantel's phone that afternoon when she disappeared was from the father of her baby. And there was the last place that they were able to track it to was somewhere near his mother's home.
Wow.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
It does. It's very troubling. We've done a lot of legwork on Jantel's case, and when you start looking at everything that there is, you start putting it all together, and it's on the surface, it seems something that is quite obvious of who possibly knows where she is, what happened to her. But again, because there is no concrete evidence, and because
mm-hmm.
she's nowhere to be found, it's one of those. That's basically still a missing persons case. And, you know, that's our reason for doing this little short documentary that we've been working on with Jantel. Our hope is that by getting the story out there, because it never did receive the media attention that I believe it deserved, we're hoping that by getting her story out there, that it'll remind somebody, or that, you know, sometimes time goes on and somebody decides to do the right thing because they know something, they're holding on to this big secret or this information, and just out of, for their own sake, for their own peace of mind, they'll come forward. So our hope is that we're able to at least put her story out there, get as much information about Jantel Johnson. I say her name to whoever will listen, get her name out there, and hopefully somebody will see it, either, you know, listen to it on your show or online or on social media, and say, okay, it's time to do the right thing. It's time to call. And, you know, they can always do that anonymously. You know that. You cover these missing persons
yeah.
cases. It's like all it takes is one phone call, and you can remain anonymous. Just do the right thing.
Now, when is your documentary going to be done? Do you know?
We are, we have a couple more things that we're trying to wrap up. Of course, we want to give the Newcastle County Police an opportunity to hopefully give us an interview or a statement on Jantel's case, anything that we can include in our piece. And we're hoping to do that with them. And there's something else that we're still following regarding this individual. And so we're trying to wrap all of that up. And we're hoping here by the beginning of the year to have it all before her anniversary of her, my goodness, 7 years. It's incredible. The 7 year anniversary, which will be February 3rd.
I mentioned earlier in the show that Jantel's family is very private. Claudia explained this to me a little bit more.
They're very guarded. I think I mentioned this too. They're very, very guarded because they tried to reach out to the media and got nowhere. When they needed the media the most, which was in the initial hours and then the first few days. And so it's been very hard on them. And so it does take a while to establish those relationships and gain their trust. and to just do all the digging. And that, you know, this is multiple states. I mean, they could be, according to police, they believe she could be in somewhere in Pennsylvania. She could be somewhere in Maryland. She could be somewhere in, obviously in Delaware. So it requires a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And, but it's a story I think that deserves to be told. It needs to be told because she's not, Jontel is not the only missing person out there who is still missing.
No, absolutely not. There's so many people just like her that nobody's heard about.
Mm-hmm. There are so many families who are, and they don't know where to turn. Because let's face it, if there's no media attention to begin with, as families, they're kind of left on their own many times. There's so many layers. There's so many challenges. And in Jontel's case, I know how frustrating it was for her family. It's almost like unless you know somebody that works at a station or, you know, for one of the media outlets, or unless it's a press release that is handed out by a police agency, et cetera, it's very hard, you know, and to be fair, because I worked at a news station for so long here and in my hometown, they get hundreds and hundreds of emails a day. Things get overlooked. This case, though, I still want to know why this case did not get the media attention. To me, I used to fight for Jontel's story. You know, it's like, this girl is 15 and pregnant. And one of the things that was, it might sound bad the way I'm going to say it, but it was almost like a turnoff because it was labeled a runaway. So
yeah.
It's almost like, and you know, that's something that I think is really important. I don't know if you've ever touched on it on your show, but when I talked to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, I asked them about how they label cases. And when it comes to runaways, in fact, they stopped doing that because they find that literally the public just looks the other way because suddenly in the public view, it's sort of like, well, she or he is a runaway. So, it's likely that it's a troubled child that's just being rebellious or is just giving their parents a hard time. And so it's not, you know, when in reality, in many cases, many of these kids are running away from horrible situations, whether it's abuse, whether it's bullying, whether it, whatever the case may be. But when the public hears runaway, immediately it's just not as important or it's not as sexy of a story, if you will.
One thing that I would like to point out is that runaways often become victims of the trafficking industry. This problem is larger than any of us would like to acknowledge. Just because a child made the decision to run away, they are still children and do not have the right to make that choice. We should still be looking for them because they are vulnerable. If you do some research about Jontel online, a lot of websites still list her as a runaway.
They shouldn't be dismissed. So the National Center doesn't label any of their cases runaway. I don't know if you ever saw their flyers before. They used to. It would say endangered runaway.
Yeah.
But they've just done away with the word all together. And now they just use missing. And so I think that's a really important step. That's something that they're very, very passionate about now is getting that point across that we shouldn't be labeling cases because, again, we run the risk of turning a lot of people off. When it comes to police departments at the local level, though, that doesn't seem to be the case.
No.
You know, and that was unfortunately the case with Jontel. I mean, it's still labeled as they believe she ran away with an older male. She left on her own, which it's the same thing, right? She left on her own, but she ran away. She left with an older male. But did she really leave on her own? You know, it's the million-dollar question here.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
I would like to move into theories. I think that most likely the father of Gentile's baby is involved in her disappearance. 20% of women who die during pregnancy are murdered. In Gentile's case, not only is it possible that the father did not want the burden of a child, but the age difference between them was a liability to him as well. This is because she was just 15 at the time and he was 26. 15 is below the age of consent in Delaware. He could have been facing serious jail time for statutory rape and other related charges. But now, Jantel is gone, and that risk is gone. That is a strong motive right there, and there seems to be some evidence to back this up. Her last phone call was with him, and her phone last pinged by his mother's house. My personal theory is that he asked her to come out to his car for something quick, and while she was in that vehicle, something happened. Since she left all of her belongings, I do not think that she planned on staying out there long. There are other theories out there, though. Law enforcement seems to believe that she ran away and is living in another state such as Pennsylvania, New York, or Maryland. Is it possible that he talked her into running away to keep him out of trouble? This got me thinking. I looked up the specific laws in Delaware, the penalties, and statute of limitations. Rape in the third degree involves sexual intercourse with a victim who is 15 or younger when the defendant is at least 10 years older than the victim. The penalty for this charge is at least 2 and up to 25 years in prison. There is also unlawful sexual contact in the second degree, which is sexual contact with a victim who is 14 or 15 when the defendant was more than 4 years older than the victim. The penalty for this is up to 2 years in prison. There is no statute of limitations for these offenses in the state of Delaware. So if Jantel and her baby are alive somewhere, the father of her baby could still be charged with those offenses. That is some food for thought there. In my research, I found an email that someone had received from law enforcement. It struck me as odd and unprofessional. I questioned if it was even written by law enforcement. It says, "I have attached a wanted flyer for Jantel Johnson. She is about 7 months pregnant. She went missing on 2-3-10 from her home in Bear, Delaware. Her baby's daddy is believed to be a 27-year-old man. The baby's daddy is not cooperative with the investigation. The investigation has shown that she has been in contact with several older men prior to her disappearance. Jantel has not contacted any friends or family since she went missing." I have several thoughts on this. First of all, why are they saying a wanted flyer? Also, it says baby's daddy twice. First of all, I can't stand that term, but also, it's spelled two different ways. First, it's spelled B-A-B-Y apostrophe S, and the other is spelled B-A-B-I-E-S. I have emailed back and forth with a lot of law enforcement officials, and I have never seen an email like that. At the end, it says that she was in contact with several older men prior to her disappearance. That makes me wonder if she could have been trafficked. Who were these men? How were they contacting her? Was she being targeted online? Is it possible that she could be out there somewhere being held against her will? Just like Claudia mentioned, it has happened before. At the very end of the show, I'm going to play some clips from a trailer that Claudia has put out for her documentary. You will get to hear from Jantel's brother and sister. You can find the full video and more at whereisjantel.com. I will let you guys know when the documentary is being released. Please take the time to check out Jantel's picture either on Claudia's website, thevanishedpodcast.com, or on social media. She could still be out there. Jontel's appearance may have changed since she was only 15 when she disappeared, but at the time she was 5'2" tall and about 120 pounds. She goes by the nickname Jay or Puff. Her 22nd birthday is coming up next week on the 8th. If you have any information about Jontel's disappearance, please call the Newcastle County Police Department at 302-395-8171. That brings us to the end of episode 43. I want to thank Claudia for her time and for all the hard work that she has put into getting the word out about Jontel's disappearance. Again, check out whereisjontel.com for more information. I also want to thank her for giving me permission to play the clip that you'll hear at the end of the show. If you would like to reach me, I am on Twitter at TheVanishedPod. There is a Facebook page and a private discussion group. If you go to TheVanishedPodcast.com, there is a topic suggestion form and also a general contact form. If you have a missing loved one that you would like to have featured on the show, please contact me at TheVanishedPodcast@gmail.com. The number for my call-in line is 814-VANISH-9. If you like this show, there are several things that you can do to help me keep making it better. First, subscribe on iTunes or anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Give The Vanished a positive review and share the show with your friends. Also, I would love to know a little bit more about you, so please complete a quick survey at wondery.com/survey. I promise it takes less than 3 minutes of your time. Again, that's wondery.com/survey. If you'd like to contribute to the show to help me defray some production expenses, please visit patreon.com/thevanishedpodcast. I would like to thank the listeners who have already contributed. Look out for episode 44 next week. I'll be covering a very bizarre disappearance of a woman from Washington.
Nothing is the same anymore, because it's always, where is she? This is where the horror story begins. My mom caught me and she said, Janelle, I can't reach Puff. Her nickname was Puff. She said, I can't reach her. She's not picking up her phone. So I text her. You know, mommy's looking for you. You know, I'm looking for you. You know, where you at? Are you okay? Call somebody back. Let us know you're okay. I called my mom and I told my mom, something's wrong. She's not picking up for me. That's when my mom said, okay, we have to go sleep. I just had like this shiver come over me that something was wrong. Never in a million years I want to think that this would be the last time I've seen or heard from my sister. The older guy is the father of our child. I asked her who the father was, and she told me it was him. The last call that came through her phone was from him.
And that was him.
The day she went missing, February 3rd. And he questioned them, but they let him go.
Maybe she was taken against her will or something like that.
She was very happy when she talked about what the sex of the baby would be. For a person to be so excited to find out what they was having, why would they run away?
The fact that we don't know anything, we don't have any leads, I think that's just, you know, it's just leaving us ignorant to the whole situation.
I know she's still out there. I know she is. It's just a matter of where.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.